Hey, gang. Welcome. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, a good place to go for all sorts of news. Today, I have as my guest for the hour, California senatorial candidate Patrick Little. Patrick, welcome to the show. Are you there, Patrick? Okay, I expect to be having him any time. In the meantime, so So Mr. T will let me know when Patrick is hooked up. In the meantime, you know, I've been looking at the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. It's very, very interesting. The nuclear non-proliferation treaty, which is from the late 1960s, what it did is it tried to freeze the spread of nuclear weapons. By the 1960s, you had five countries that had conducted nuclear weapons tests openly. It was United States. Oh, great. Patrick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to mute my phone. It was going off there. I had my microphone on mute.
Oh, we've got, you know, at RBN, when we have problems, we just keep working on them until they're solved. So, because the show must go on. The show must go on. I was just starting out by referencing the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and, you know, we talked a little bit about it earlier today, and it was a treaty, if you don't mind me giving the listeners a little bit of a background, because it's referenced a lot today, but most people don't know the details of it. And it's from the 1960s. It really comes out of Eisenhower's Atoms for Peace program, or his initiative from the 1950s. That's where it really got its start. But it was codified into a treaty. I think it was signed in 1967 or 68. But you could join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty in one of two categories. One was as a nuclear weapons possessing state, and by that time there were five countries that had openly tested nuclear weapons. That's the United States, the Soviet Union, Great Britain, France, and China, which were all the, they all happened to be the UN permanent, the UN Security Council permanent members. You know, there's a China, there was a little issue of recognition of the communist government, which didn't happen until the 70s, but be that as it may. It was kind of tidy at first. So you had those five countries that had nuclear weapons. They were all the UN Security Council permanent members. Every other country that joined as a non-nuclear weapons possessing state. Now, what is the point of joining a treaty that's going to permanently put you at a military disadvantage to the other states? Well, the incentive was, if you joined as a non-possessing state, the other countries in the treaty had the obligation to help you develop your civilian nuclear program, your nuclear energy program. Also, they were prohibited from using or threatening to use nuclear weapons against you. That way, it wouldn't put you at the military disadvantage. So most of the countries of the world joined. Iran joined. And Iran has been a member, and it has not, you know, it has not been in violation of the treaty. Now, those who joined as nuclear powers, as nuclear weapons powers, had some obligations. One was they had to make good faith efforts at disarmament, nuclear disarmament, and you can argue whether or not that happened. Also, they are prohibited from assisting any country that has not signed the treaty in any way for their nuclear program, whether it's electricity or whether it's weapons. They're not allowed to. Well, we've been helping Israel, Great Britain, France. All these countries have helped Israel with their nuclear programs. And we're also prohibited from threatening countries that have joined as non-nuclear countries. We're prohibited from threatening them with the use of nuclear weapons. Now, Patrick, how many times have you heard, whether it's Hillary Clinton or George Bush or Joe Biden or, you know, Mike Pompeo or Nikki Haley or Donald Trump or whomever, how many times have you heard them say regarding Iran and their nuclear program, all options are on the table?
More times than I can remember.
And, of course, that's a violation of the treaty. You can't say all options are on the table because you have, by signing the treaty, you have said that the nuclear option is not on the table. It must not ever be on the table.
If the Jews didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have any at all. And whether or not these people are Jews, our State Department has been controlled by the Jews since about the 1920s. And a lot of the people in the statement... Department are actually Jews, and most of our politicians are just Zionists for the stooges for the Jews. So ultimately, it doesn't matter what agreements you reach with the United States State Department, so long as it's full of Jews, there's no making a deal with this country. I hate to say that about my own country, but the Jews have completely destroyed our credibility. We don't honor our deals because Jews run things. There's one maxim I abide by, and that's never trust a Jew. And so if there was any country out there trying to do any type of negotiation with the United States, they're up the creek. They're up shit creek without a paddle because they're dealing with Jews.
They are up there, up doo-doo creek. This is RBN. And I'm,
oh, sorry about that.
You know, we do have standards, not double standards. We have RBN standards.
My apologies.
That's okay. Well, keep moving on. And you mentioned the State Department, and when the Iran nuclear deal was negotiated under the Clinton administration, who was the lead negotiator? It was Wendy Sherman. She was the number three person at the State Department. Who else was involved? Well, the number one person at the State Department, John Kerry, and we know that he was actually half-Jewish. His father was an ethnic Jew. And... in between number one and number three is number two, Anthony Blinken. Can you guess what ethnicity Anthony Blinken was?
I'm guessing he likes to... No, you go ahead and tell me. Go ahead.
Well, no, he was Jewish. So, the number one, two, and three people at the State Department under Obama were Jews. And, of course, that ignores... what's her name? Victoria Nuland, who was... the Assistant Secretary of State for Eurasian Affairs, who's started off all of this anti-Russia stuff, but that's another story. She was also a big-time Jew. I have a question, okay? So, now, Israel is not a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty, and, of course, you know, they have been, well, they've amassed a stockpile of nuclear weapons. There's no inspection of them. They have submarines.
Let me jump in there, Dr. Slatter. I'm going to jump in. They built those nuclear weapons with weapons-grade uranium they stole from the United States in the 1960s and 70s. John F. Kennedy was actually going to do something about this, and that's one of the reasons I think he got a bullet. But,
why does nobody say that all options aren't on the table with Israel?
I do.
I'm not suggesting we nuke Israel. I just want to make that clear. I'm not. I'm against nuclear war. But the thing is, to threaten Israel with nuclear weapons, and I'm not, but to threaten Israel with nuclear weapons would not be a violation of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. They haven't signed it. So
I would consider it a moral imperative that we do that. I mean, you've heard of the Samson option. Either we return favor what they've done, the Samson option, or we're going to be their bitch. We're going to be their
female nation. Dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my apologies there. No, but they're a rogue nuclear state, and they're a terrorist state that repeatedly attacks this country. I think lobbing a few warheads at Israel might be the best thing that ever happened to United States foreign relations.
Well, do you think it has to come to that?
They I mean, in 1967, they attack us, and a few months later, we sign an agreement where they get to see all of our military and State Department intelligence. And the following year, right after this attack, they get their aid budget quadrupled. I mean, their fingerprints are all over 9/11. I don't know why we weren't lobbing nukes at Israel years ago. My opinion, there's nothing too bad that we could do to Israel.
Okay. Well, like I say, I'm a lifelong peace activist, and I'm not a pacifist per se, but I've never seen a war we've been in that was worth being in. And, of course, Israel is very, very small geographically, and nuking Israel would have impacts on other areas and other countries.
Positive impacts.
It is a very, very difficult. It's a difficult problem. The problem is real. The problem is real. The threat is real. The genocide is real. It's Israel. It is Israel. And here's the thing. Like, I am going to reiterate one more time. I'm not supporting a war against Israel, or I'm not calling for nuking Israel, but everybody in the Washington establishment, not everybody, but lots of people in the Washington establishment openly call for war against Iran. They certainly call for war against Iraq and war against all these other countries, and they will talk about using nuclear weapons. And so why should it be so outrageous that somebody mentions these same options regarding a country that is really, honestly, a much greater threat? The threat is real.
Well, I think absolutely. Whoever wants to do it, they're doing the world a favor. If somebody just wants to light up Israel like a Roman candle, I think the world would finally have that peace that you like to be an activist for. And I don't see really many other options here. No matter what you give Israel, it commits terror. No matter what concessions are made, it demands more. I mean, if you give Israel a cookie, it kills you. Of course, referring to that book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. But, I mean, we're dealing with a terrorist rogue nuclear state here, so all options are on the table for dealing with Israel. And they're historically the leading terrorist nation in the world since the land was stolen from the Palestinians. They'll attack anyone. And their motto is, by deception, we wage war. And if that's the motto of a country that possesses nuclear warheads, and also now these undetectable Dolphin 2 submarines that the Germans just gave them, by deception, we wage war, we have nukes, and we have a history of committing terrorist attacks. And so these Jews have this crazy prophecy about Armageddon and the end of the world and all that stuff, and I am just pretty sure they're going to try and do something with false flag attacks with nuclear weapons, where I think probably the best thing that could happen would be the preemptive destruction, carpet bombing of Israel with nuclear warheads or conventional weapons, just anything. They keep on making messes, and at this point they don't, I mean, you can't make a peace treaty with Israel. You can't hold them to any agreements. They break every agreement they've ever been in. I mean, so they've attacked United States in terrorist attacks several times now. They have some very scary weapons, and I think they need to be neutralized, because you cannot trust them with anything, especially not nuclear weapons.
Well, okay, so right now we're at kind of one extreme where the United States and other countries are under the effective control of these Jewish elites, and our foreign policy is dominated by those elites. And sometimes there is a disagreement between the American Jewish elites and the Israeli government over what's best for the Jews. And I think you saw that with the Iran nuclear deal, where, you know, Netanyahu and his government, they want war with Iran, and the American Jews, who have it really good over here, you know, they the Iraq war opened a lot of people's eyes to Jewish power, and they don't want, a lot of them, like Wendy Sherman, don't want a war with Israel. They don't think it's going to be good for American Jews, and they don't think it's going to be necessarily good for Israeli Jews either. So you don't always have this agreement. But we have a situation where, you know, we're fully, I mean, we under this Jewish elite that is destroying us. So that's pretty extreme. Now, what you're talking about, obviously, that's the opposite extreme. There's really a lot of territory in between. And, you know, there are things that could happen in between. And here's something that happens to be considered in between that is still pretty close to what you're saying. Rather than, like, nuking Israel or carpet bombing it, there are people who, I mean, it's known, our intelligence services and they know where the facilities are, where the military facilities are, and you could have, like, a strike on those military facilities. Of course, with anything, whether it's with anything, the issue is our government is so infiltrated, you know, whether it's the Defense Department, the State Department, the Treasury Department, the White House, there are just so many Jews and dual citizens there, that how do you draw up plans without those plans being leaked ahead of time?
And that's why I'm saying at this point, just somebody needs to pull the trigger. I don't care whether it's Russia or the UK or France, anyone that can just lob a few nukes at Israel, they should do it. Because ultimately, unless you light a fire under their asses, they're in complete control of all our institutions. And at this point, I consider there to be a terrorist occupation of most of the critical junctures of our government. I mean, we're at war with a terrorist group of people, the Zionist Jews. They attack us repeatedly. Their motto is by deception, they're going to wage war against us. They're destroying our country. They're attacking our country. And they completely control all the flows of information. And at this point, there's no way we can organize a counterstrike against Israel right now the way that they've infiltrated everything. So at this point, just somebody rogue has to lob some warheads at Israel. And then I think we can start picking up the pieces that the Jews have left for us here.
Well, but how likely is it that somebody, Russia, Iran doesn't have the capability of doing it. How realistic is it to expect Russia to do it, let alone France or Britain?
Well, if Russia doesn't do it, let's just assume that the attempt to remove the Zionist Jews from power in this country is not successful. Eventually, the Jews will use their control of all the critical institutions around the world to crush Russia and destroy the Russian people. So, I mean, if I had the ability to unilaterally launch a nuclear attack on Russia Israel right now, I would do it. Absolutely.
Okay, we're about to go to the break, so I'm just letting you know we'll be back after the break, and with more from senatorial candidate Patrick Little. Can we talk?
Yeah, sure.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28. Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Do you know know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slatter and Patrick Little. And we're talking about a lot of stuff. And it's a lot of stuff that you would never hear anywhere else if the subject was Israel. But you would hear it if the subject was Iran. You would hear it if the subject was North Korea, even China or Russia. You would hear people talking about, oh, well, I mean, you heard all of Hollywood saying, oh, we're at war with Russia already. They've attacked us. We're at war with them. So they're basically talking about nuclear war. Now, Israel really is the rogue nation out there, and they have this massive nuclear arsenal, and they have all the delivery systems. The problem is real. The threat is real. It's Israel. But nobody can talk, but when you talk about it, it's completely shocking. Now, of course, like I'll reiterate maybe for the last time that I'm not in support of going to war against anyone right now. People talk about it about war all the time, and I don't think it's unfair for you to mention it. So
now, what I did was just played a little exercise. So, what I did was I pretended that everything that Israel had done, from the theft of our strategic nuclear resources to the spying games they've been playing on us, to the terrorist false flag attacks they've launched against us, to the invasion of neighboring countries, to their entire military and intelligence service being based around false flags and deception. Now, what I was saying is as if Iran had done all this stuff and just replaced the word Iran with Israel.
Yeah.
This is everything you would have heard from the media.
Yes.
So while I am for retaliating against Israel for their terrorist attacks on this country, I do think it's interesting. We should play games like this, like a Mad Lib. Just switch out the word. Switch out Iran or Israel and just find your double standards there. So I think everything is on the table for dealing with Israel, and if Iran or Russia or any of these other countries had done anything like Israel has done the last 50, 60 years, everything that I had said before the break would have been stuff you would have been hearing on Fox News, on MSNBC, and that's the point I'm making. That's a little bit of shock value there, but ultimately, I don't know how to wake people up to the things that are going on right now. I mean, Israel just committed a war crime against an unarmed population of Palestine.
They had weapons. They had burning kites.
Yeah. Well, I wish you had just been replaced one letter in that last word there. But
yeah, we don't do that on RBN.
Oh no, of course
we're
not.
We're very accurate in our spelling.
but right now Syria is being destroyed. I mean, Assad's the only thing protecting these Christians in Lebanon. And to be honest, for any informed American or anyone around the world who really knows what's going on, this is pretty frustrating stuff. And Israel has a history of getting away with this stuff, and these crazy SOBs have nukes. I mean, the potential for damage that this insolent nation, this crazy nation of Israel has, they have the potential to do so much damage to the world right now, and they don't care about what happens to anyone. They are just the most reckless terrorist country that has ever existed, and they have nuclear weapons, and they have submarines that are almost undetectable, and they're out of control. So it's just a little frustrating, and I get a little angry about that sometimes.
Well, so I mean, you ticked off this list of crimes Israel has committed against the United States, as well as against other countries. And if any other country had done it, if Iran had done it, if Iraq had done it, if North Korea had done it, China, Russia, they would be regime changed, they would be nuked, they would be carpet bombed, all of that. They would be all of that. And so if you're going to use that as an intellectual exercise, use the shock value, that's very, very powerful. Because Israel gets away with what would be, if any other country on earth did it, would just be a death sentence, because the rest of the world would turn on them and turn them into a nuclear wasteland. That is, I think that's a fact.
100%. And, at some point, somehow, we've got to get this terrorist nation of Israel on a leash, because they're getting more and more powerful, and they control more and more politicians and more countries, and they do not have any morals. They do not have any ethics. Well, and they're doing terrible, terrible things, and you're not hearing about it in the news, and nobody knows about this stuff unless you're woke.
Unless you're woke. And the United States can't do anything about it unless a critical mass of us get woke. That has to happen first. And so, then there is the question of, okay, well, what do you talk about to wake up people? Well, we'll get to that after.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath, head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Radio with Patrick Slattery and Patrick Little. And Patrick Little, you're running for Senate in a big, big state. That must be exhausting.
Yeah, it's pretty exhausting. I've also, until recently, been a one-man campaign. I've got a volunteer server now, and we're actually going to be throwing some IRL events that aren't just me going out pulling stunts at this point. But yeah, it's pretty tiring, and I was taking classes full-time until this week, which I did not mention. I was using my GI Bill to collect money, so if you had noticed, I've been pretty busy, so now I don't have the classes as well. So now I'm dedicating all my time to the campaign, and there's a protest tonight in San Francisco in support of Palestine. I'm tempted to go to that. It's a But the last pro-Palestine protest I went to was completely controlled by Jews, and they said that Israel was a white supremacist state, and they said that Israel didn't represent Judaism. So they projected everything that Israel was doing as somehow being white supremacism. So I'm hoping they're not doing that at this event, because that's not productive. That's not productive at all.
No, but for you to go there, and maybe even just, I mean, I would understand you're not going to be an invited speaker, but for to mill around and talk to certain individuals or small groups could be productive. So let's talk a little. I this past week has been blackpilling to a lot of people, because you see what's going on in the Middle East, and you see our foreign policy, which is, you know, now it's under the control, well, you know, it's hijacked by Jewish power. Now, that doesn't mean that every person that you look at is going to be a Jew. I mean, Mike Pompeo is not a Jew. Although Mike Pompeo, he did brush off to Israel as soon as he was confirmed, like within 24 hours. That's pretty gross. But and then you got Nikki Haley and you got John Bolton. None of them are Jews, but they know where they know who's buttering their bread. They're there because of Jewish power.
They're Zionist stooges.
They are Zionist stooges completely. Now, Trump on the campaign trail wasn't a complete Zionist stooge. He said some things that they really didn't like, I mean, regarding Israel, it's like, oh, well, we should be a fair broker. And that there was outrage, a little bit of outrage, because he said we should be fair. But the main thing is saying that he wanted to have better relations with Vladimir Putin. This is something, it's not such a big deal with the super pro-Israel Zionists, but it's a big deal with American Jews and who resent Putin for having taken back Russia from the Russian diaspora Jews. But moving the embassy and ripping up the agreement with Iran, that's him keeping his promises, which is kind of a sorry state. But so Trump certainly wasn't the answer, and of course Trump hasn't really given us very good results so far.
I'm seeing just about nothing in his campaign promises that he's delivered on. Now,
he delivered on the ripping up the Iran deal, and he delivered on moving the embassy to Jerusalem.
Unfortunately, those were the campaign promises that most of us had been hoping he would not keep.
Exactly.
So the only campaign promises he has kept has been the one for the Zionists that control this country. And it's a real black pill, because we get lip service and stuff. After Charlottesville, he said there were good people on both sides. But what I'm thinking here is
that... I took a lot of heat for that.
Well, he may have taken a lot of heat for that, but think about what it accomplished, because that stopped the growing right wing of racially aware and Jewish question aware Americans from questioning whether or not Trump is a plant or not. And I'm beginning to lean more to think that he is controlled opposition to give us false hope so we don't start our own thing. And I'm really beginning to think that we can expect nothing from Trump except more betrayals, maybe some dog whistles here and there. But ultimately, this is the thing. I'm never going to back a candidate that dog whistles ever again, unless they explicitly state that they're going to try and help white people or try and curb Jewish supremacism. All we did was get tricked into voting for him, and he's been the most pro-Israeli Zionist stooge president since, much more so than Obama was, much more pro-Israeli. And I'm not stating that I buy into the whole narrative that Obama was anti-Israeli.
No, certainly wasn't. But you have a point.
Trump has given the Israelis whatever they want on a silver platter, and ultimately,
of course, what they really want is bombing Iran. He hasn't gone there yet. But
well, if he keeps up the way he's going, he'll get there. And you have to remember, not all Jews want Iran bombed. There are some that are against that because they think that will turn up the heat on Israel too much. But ultimately, what are they concerned about? What's best for Israel?
Or what's best for Jews?
What's best for Jews? So, and I really think that we need to start waking up to the fact that all Trump has given us is dog whistles and immaterial support, whereas he's giving the enemies of this country, Israel and these Zionist globalists, everything that they want. So, I mean, in the one hand, you've got us getting dog whistles and false hope, and you've got the enemy getting everything that they want. So, I really think that the statement after Charlottesville was designed to keep us from stopping from ceasing to support him, because ultimately, when we support Donald Trump, we're supporting a Zionist stooge that puts Israel first, that has broken his promises about keeping us out of Syria, has, you know, gave us lip service about having been against the Iraq war when he's diving us headfirst into war in the Middle East. And Iran isn't going to back down, because they realize if they let their neighbors fall, they're on the chopping block next. These Zionist Jews are rabid. They will not stop. They will keep pushing. So Iran isn't going to back down. We're backing Israel in its war of aggression in Syria. We're backing Israel with our Jewish-controlled State Department, backing ISIS and all that. We've been backing the Kurds and stuff that have been attacking Syria. This does not end well, and I don't care about lip service after a governor is allowed to completely violate all of our civil rights. Ultimately, what I care about is power politics, and that's all the Jews care about, power politics. Eric Stryker says this a lot, and right now Trump has done nothing to help white working class Americans. Trump has done nothing to curb Jewish supremacist control of this country. And I think it's time we stop listening to dog whistles. Let's just tune them out, unless someone explicitly says that they're against the Jews completely controlling this country. It's, unless someone says that they're, you know, willing to be an advocate for the whites that are hurting right now, I'm just not going to support them, period. And I'm done supporting Trump. And until he names the Jew or explicitly says something pro-white, I'm done supporting him. And I'm preparing to start protesting Trump, just because I'm not going to be a Reagan coalition member and cheer for a president as he grants amnesty and stuff. It's, I mean, you got this is just flashback to the 1980s. I mean, this great conservative hope, dog whistles for white working class people, white people losing their jobs at factories, and then a bunch of amnesty. But wow, does he get along well with the evangelists? No, I'm done with the dog whistles, and I think we all should be done with the dog whistles.
Well, here's the thing. So Trump has 30-something months, 32 months left in his term. And so 32 months before the next election, what does it even mean to say you support or don't support the president? I mean, there's the question of impeachment. Would we want him impeached or not? And I don't see why we would want him impeached. I don't believe for a second that his election was part of some grand scheme. I think he genuinely thought he was going to do some things, you know, whether he's a true believer in it or he's just an opportunist.
Let me interject there.
He's losing. Okay, you go ahead and interject. I'll get my point across.
What I'm saying is not that there was a grand scheme to trick everyone that everyone was involved in. When he started dog whistling for whites, whites got behind him in a way they hadn't gotten behind a candidate in a very, very long time. And that isn't a conspiracy. That's people being tricked. This is the same thing as what happened with Reagan. You know, the conservative coalition and the silent majority all came back. And he gave dog whistles to get us to support him, but he never was explicitly pro-white, and he gave dog whistles about Jewish supremacist foreign policy that he wasn't going to support anymore. So what I'm saying ultimately here is either he's a coward or he was lying. One or the other, because, you know, I've had threats against my family. I haven't stopped. If he's having threats against his family, he just needs to power through it, ultimately.
I mean, or a loser. Like, I think I thought he was going to be able to do more. I did not foresee a lot of the tactics that they've been using on him since Election Day. I didn't foresee the extent to which they were going to try to manipulate the Electoral College and bribe people to vote against him. And all of these things that have happened are pretty unprecedented. And he's hasn't proven to be very politically astute. He thought he was going to be able to govern as a Republican, but he doesn't have the Republican behind him. People he appointed himself, like Rod Rosenstein. He appointed Rod Rosenstein, and here's Rod Rosenstein trying to get him impeached. So I think he's been losing and losing. Now, so here's the thing. Is he capable of coming back and starting to win? Or, here's a legitimate question, does a point come where he's given up? And has that point come already, where he just gives up and says, okay, well, I'm just going to go along? Now, some people might think, okay, he's already given up, and maybe he has. I think that regardless of Trump, we have to, you know, you have to do the type of thing you're doing. You have to go out and run, and you have to, and I think it's great that we have somebody who is going to have a spotlight, who is not afraid to say exactly what he thinks about Jewish power. And I think that's extremely, extremely useful. And I don't think, you know, there is a danger of getting into too much, what do you call it, purity spiraling. And I think
Now, here's the thing about calling what I've said here purity spiraling.
I'm not calling it. You say purity spiraling.
What I'm saying here is, if Trump is in a position where he cannot govern, that means essentially he has to go down swinging. So if he wasn't lying to us when he was running, and we're at a point right now where you can no longer govern this country trying to put America first. You cannot govern the country if you don't put Israel first. At that point, he needs to go down swinging and let Americans know that this is the case.
Mm-hmm. That's a very fair point to make. I'm not here to try to say, oh, let's rally around the president. Absolutely not. But I don't think there's, it's useful to say, well, he was a Zionist stooge all the whole time, because I don't think it's true. And I think if we start believing things that aren't true, it's not helpful.
Well, ultimately, the point I'm making is whether or not he's gaslit or subversive, it doesn't matter. The effect is the same. A disaffected white base again, and this is ultimately a poison pill for. So, what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter whether he's being subversive or he's being held hostage. He still has the option of fighting, and he's not doing that. And if they started going after his family and such, and his family just started randomly dropping, the American people would know what's up. So, I'm not sure if I even buy the hostage thing.
Well, okay. How are you doing right now? Have there been any more polls in California? Because there was the one that showed you had about 18% support.
No.
And, of course, you'd probably get into the runoff with even 9 or 10% vote, don't you think?
I think so. There hasn't been a poll since then. However, I've got news outlets from all over the world that are contacting me. I'm going to be doing one with an Asian news outlet that's actually coming here on a plane. People cannot believe that a white man in America running for office is actually talking about Jewish power and doing well in the polls. And so,
able to tell us which Asian outlet this is?
After the interview.
After the interview. Okay.
Yeah. I'm getting support from all over Europe. People are just saying, holy crap, an American is admitting that Israel controls his country and is willing to say positive things about whites. There are great things happening here. You have to remember, California is the rest of the country in 10 or 20 years unless we stop what's going on here. So people that are saying that dog whistles are the way to go and such, I'm not dog whistling, and the whites are responding. I'm not dog whistling, and the Asians are responding. If you look at my website, I reach out to everyone, because ultimately Jewish supremacism hurts everyone.
So what kind of response are you getting from, there are a lot of Asians in California, from Asians, from Hispanics, there's an awful lot out there, and from blacks. What kind of response are you getting?
So I've gotten a lot of messages and emails and Gab messages from Asians that are saying they're happy that I'm talking about Jewish supremacism in the universities. They know firsthand that Jews with low scores will get into elite universities before them. Most of the white people are just saying, hey, I'm not going to tell you my name, but thank you. This is a terrorist occupation of our government, where the white people are even scared to publicly advocate for their own interest, even benevolently. They're afraid to look any way publicly other than anti-white or neutral. And this is a sad state we're in. And, you know, I've got all sorts of people that you wouldn't expect behind closed doors giving me support. People with good jobs, people that with a lot to lose. And there are people sticking their necks out for me right now that have things to lose, because they've seen how far California has slid down the drains, and they realize that unless you stand up and explicitly say things like I'm saying, ultimately they can't trust you, and you're not going to energize anyone. So I really think that this dog whistle stuff, it is the most dangerous game that we can get involved with, because anybody can dog whistle. And you know, the media is going to accuse anyone that isn't saying, well, we need to get rid of all white people now. They're going to accuse anyone that's not saying something tantamount to that, to dog whistling to whites. So anyone can dog whistle. It takes balls and leadership for someone to explicitly come out and say that they're pro-white, to explicitly state that Jews, Jewish supremacists, run this country. Mm-hmm. And I really think that all of the alt-right outlets and stuff that are saying to go with dog whistles and stuff, they're mistaken, because...
All right, we're about to go to the break, but we will have a few more minutes after the break. And
sure.
Okay, be back with Patrick Little.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Patrick Little. And Patrick, like I've said before, if ever there was a race where it makes sense to talk completely openly and not dog whistle, it would be your race in California.
Absolutely. And everyone that's dog whistled in the past, how do you hold someone accountable when to dog whistle? So if someone says they're going to help traditional Americans and then they throw whites under the bus, if somebody says they're going to not do globalist wars, how do you hold them accountable when they go and do wars for Israel? I mean, you have to call things by their name or you can't be held accountable. And right now, Trump is breaking his campaign promises that were implied, but what explicitly has he broken in terms of a campaign promise?
Well, I mean, we don't have the wall, right? I guess we got a couple miles of prototype. Yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, there's just a lot of things. He's not winning, that's for sure.
It's because he's not fighting. And so long as he's not fighting, I don't care whether he's throwing in the towel from cowardice or he's throwing in the towel because he was a plant. In the end, the effects are the same. And ultimately, this is about what effect things have. The effects are the same, whether he's being held hostage and throwing in the towel, or whether he was a plant. Ultimately, that doesn't matter. Until he starts standing up, until he talks about Jewish power, until he's willing to go down swinging, I think we should just, while he's got plenty of time left in his term, just start withdrawing support for him until he starts fighting.
Well, I mean, regardless of what you think about Trump, what you want to do with Trump, we have to continue our struggle, and that's what you're doing. And I really admire that you're willing to go out and take these risks and say the hardest things that there are to say, say things that nobody else would say, except if it wasn't about Jews. Oh yeah, you can say it. You know, you can say anything hateful about other countries, you can say anything hateful about other groups of people, but not Jews. They're sacrosanct, not Israel. It's our best friend forever. But so it's difficult. What you're doing is so difficult, and I admire that you're willing to do this most difficult of tasks.
Well, thank you. I think that's the only way to do it, and I've taken flack not only from the mainstream media and the CAZOG, the CAGOP, the CAZOG, CAGOP. I've taken flack from our guys. There's a lot of the people on the right that are our guys that are aware of the Jewish question that will not cover me because I'm not using dog whistles. And,
well, yeah. You know, people, we have to try different things, try different approaches, and your approach deserves to be tried. Charlottesville, the Charlottesville demonstrations, you can say the same things about them. And maybe Charlottesville, maybe it was a big failure. Maybe we lost a lot in it. But it had to be tried. And maybe we've learned from it. Maybe we can do another Charlottesville that'll work, or maybe we shouldn't do it. You're going to have your race, and you're going to show what kind of results we get. And that, no matter what results you get, it's important that you've done this, and then we get to see it. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having had me on. And I enjoyed our little mental exercise earlier today about Israel.
Indeed. And I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.